broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 24th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of work to do. We got to stand together. We got an interesting guest on today. His name is Doug Stafford. They jokingly call him leader of the pack, but it's actually not a joke. He's the chief strategist of Rand Pack. Believe it or not, Rand Pack, a political action committee, doing a great job. It's one of the few that I'd actually put money into. Most of them are just a big old scandal. This one's for real. Rand Paul and Mike Lee and a lot of these people working together to elect good, honest representatives, statesmen rather than politicians, if you will, and literally focusing on the solutions. Rand was the biggest voice, for example, to reject this omnibus budget bill, reject this idea that we're just going to fully fund Planned Parenthood and promote the military-industrial complex, etc. So, you know, they're doing a bang-up job, and you need to know about it. Well, anyway, they're in Utah today. They got an event going on and more. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, Doug.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right, now catch me up. When you say you're the leader of the pack, what does that mean? What do you do all day?
I run Rand Paul's political action committee, which, as you said, is Rand Pack. It's just randpack.com if you want to see a little bit more about it. I've worked for Rand for almost 10 years. I ran his campaigns, his chief of staff in the Senate office for a while, and now I kind of split my time doing lots of different things for him. And what Rand Pack's mission, as you said, is...
All right, before you go on to the mission, though, I just want to make sure it's okay. Rand Pack, R-A-N-D-P-A-C.com, right?
You got it.
All right, just want to make sure there's no confusion on how people can get there. Go ahead, sir.
I appreciate that. RandPack.com. Yep. And our mission is twofold, is help Rand spread his message on issues. So as you saw, Rand was kind of the leader on the spending issue this week and always is. Last night,
and by the way, we're grateful for his leadership, him speaking out, him standing up and calling a spade, not caving, but also not going into belligerent, crazy rhetoric either, meaning he's calling a spade,
right.
But he's not going over the top.
Facts.
So that's important.
There's so much wrong with this bill that Rand spent the entire day reading it. He literally was sitting at his desk reading it. And as we found things, which didn't take long, we could have done it about every 30 seconds, but we went with about every 5 or 10 minutes, just kept putting up things that we knew anyone, any normal person that would read this document would be completely outraged if they saw it. We put it all over social media, and it had probably 20 million views between various arms of our social media that day, which means everybody else got to see this message, and that's kind of what we try to do with Rand's outside stuff, is try to make sure everybody understands what exactly he's fighting for and why it's so important.
Amen to that. Doing a great job. Now, really quick, and we'll cover this a couple of times before we let you fly. There's an event in Salt Lake City today, right? Or tonight?
Yeah, there's a fundraising dinner for Rand Pack and for Rand. It's in Salt Lake City tonight at 6 o'clock downtown. If you want to come to it, it is fundraising, so there'll be a donation requested. If you want more information on that, and the specific location and the donation request and all that stuff, you can get that from our finance director, Ivy, which is ivy@randpaul.com.
Just the letters Ivy?
Standing by if you need it. ivy@randpaul.com.
Right, but it's just the letters. It's not a name spelled out or anything.
Right? Ivy, isn't it?
Ivy.
All right, I just want to make that clear. So it's ivy@randpaul.com. Randpaul.com. Okay, good. I mean, I know it's obvious if it's a name, but I just want to make that clear where people to know where to email. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And anybody wants to come tonight at 6 o'clock that wishes to, like you, help Rand and Rand Pack financially, we appreciate that. That's how he gets his message out. And also, the second part of it is that's how he helps other people. He has helped, over the years, elect a lot of other good, strong, liberty conservatives. And 2018, he's already endorsed about a half dozen candidates around the country, and we're looking for a lot more. But we're only looking for the ones that will make a difference.
Amen to that. Now, Rand Paul literally is going to be at this fundraiser speaking, right?
He is. He'll be there. It'll be a little dinner. He'll be there in person. He is there in Salt Lake today. And he'd be happy to talk to anybody, have dinner with folks who want to help Rand back.
Kurt?
As I understand it, according to Ivy, he's flying at this time, or else he'd be with us, Sam.
Hey, well, I get that. That makes sense to me, and we're grateful for him coming to Utah. We certainly want to help with this cause, to say the least. IVY@randpaul.com is how you can get more information, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to learn about the PACT, it's Rand, R-A-N-D, PACT, P-A-C, randpack.com. Now, I want to talk about this. Is Mike Lee going to be there, too?
We're hoping he will be. He wasn't positive, but he had a little bit of a fluctuations in his schedule of being in demand at home, too. But I believe he is going to be. And certainly, with or without his presence today, Mike and Rand are huge allies and have a joint mission. And Rand Pack has helped Mike before. And we're just pleased to call him a friend and ally. We are hoping he'll be at dinner tonight.
Amen. And if he can, that's great. I bring this up, though, because I'm almost convinced there's no people more in line, really, in the Senate or Congress or anywhere that I can see on the national stage for discussion, more so than Rand Paul and Mike Lee. Mike's a little less vocal than Rand is, but yet I personally agree a little more with Rand's views than I do Mike's. But what I'm pointing out, though, is that I don't know that anybody supports Rand more than Mike does, really.
That's absolutely true. That is, Rand and Mike are the strongest allies in the Senate. And that is, if you see a fight going on the right side of things in the Senate, it is usually Rand or Mike or both leading it and the other one helping.
All right. Now, I've got a problem with this bill that Rand Paul did his best to read, but nobody else read. 2,232 pages, Doug, and nobody read it. Now, Donald said he had to sign it because it was a national security issue to fund the military-industrial complex. I don't agree with that viewpoint at all. To me, it's a national security crisis when 536 people literally get behind a bill. Now, you could say some opposed it, but, hey, they got to take responsibility for it. They passed it. 536 people get behind a bill, literally pass something that they've never read. What if the Russians hacked it and slipped a line in there or something? Now, I know that's a little bit of a joke, but I'm making a point. Is it a national security crisis, in your opinion, to pass legislation you've never read?
It's certainly a political crisis for an entire legislature to abdicate like that and to pass something that they don't know what's in it, to pass something with $1 trillion in debt. And as far as national security goes, we should all remember that one of the more recent Joint Chiefs Chairman, Admiral Mullen, said the greatest threat to our national security is our national debt. And we are not taking that seriously. And, there are things that need to be funded in the military, but there are certainly also waste in the military, and there are things that we are doing overseas that we shouldn't be doing. And we prefer to refocus the military spending rather than increase before we've done that. We should audit the Pentagon. We should subject the military, as important as it is, to the same scrutiny we would to any other department.
Now, what if we were on constitutional currency, gold and silver? They wouldn't have been able to pass that bill. So auditing the Fed, in my opinion, is at the heart of it all.
That's right. A lot of state governments don't have the same leeway that the federal government does to just run these massive deficits because they have to find a way somehow to pay for it. And the federal government doesn't have to do that. They borrow, they print. As you said, the Fed is responsible for a lot of the problems because of that. Rand tried to attach audit the Fed to a banking bill a couple of weeks ago, actually, but got blocked. But we will keep at that. That's a fight, obviously, his father started.
Yeah, we will never give up on that fight, Doug.
No, and people may not realize how far that's moved. When Ron Paul introduced that, it had a handful of people that supported it. Now it passes the U.S. House overwhelmingly. It got over 300 votes when it passed the U.S. House. And it has probably somewhere around a majority, give or take a couple of votes, in the U.S. Senate. We're trying to get more Fed opponents, supporters of audit the Fed, into the Senate, which is part of what Rand Paul does.
All right, Kurt, there's a lot of details on Rand Paul people need to know.
Well, that's right. I was there reading through some of those things, Doug. It's pretty interesting. I like to, you got some basic stuff there where it says Rand Paul's mission is to lead the battle for sound money, limited government, and fidelity to our Constitution.
Boy, how do we need that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We help support and elect pro-liberty, pro-constitution candidates in Kentucky and across the country. It says in the What We Do section, Rand Paul is Senator Rand Paul's Leadership Political Action Committee. Rand Paul's mission is to fight for the Constitution on important issues and support and elect pro-liberty, pro-constitution candidates, as we said, from Kentucky and across the country. Rand Paul, this is under this section called Why We Fight. RAND PAC will help Senator Paul lead the battle for sound money, limited government, and fidelity to our Constitution. Rand Paul understands that America is the greatest nation in human history and that politicians in Washington are threatening our way of life by overtaxing, overspending, printing money, and routinely ignoring the Constitution. Anyway, that's some
I don't know
good
that it gets better
stuff.
Than that when it comes to standing for liberty, Kurt. That's what we need. That's what Ron Paul did for literally decades, and that's what Rand Paul's carrying on that – Rand Paul, sorry, is carrying on that legacy, Doug.
Absolutely. We appreciate you reading all that. And it sounds like if you – you know, I knew I was in a good place and at home when I was listening to your introduction. You know, listen to the things – how you introduce your show every day and the things that you want to talk about and you believe in. That's, you mean, those two mission statements were interchangeable, weren't they?
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this, because, you know, I know this is a devastating loss on this budget. And it's easy for people to get discouraged, Doug. And you know what? One of the things we believe in on this radio program is I don't want to get discouraged. All that does is let, you know, the enemies of freedom have a greater foothold because I become less effective in my discouragement, if you will. I want to be positive. I want to be cheerful. I want to influence in a good way. I can't do it all myself, but I can do my part. Right when we get back from the break, I want to talk about this and say, hey, what would Ron recommend we all do? What's the next step? How do we continue the fight? One of the issues that I think is critical to carry on the discussion about is the rejection of the funding of Planned Parenthood. They fully funded that sucker. We're literally murdering 2,000 to 3,000 babies a day, depending on the estimates. I don't see how you remain free, and that's not a security crisis. If you're a baby, it's a security crisis for sure. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Doug Stafford with us, ladies and gentlemen. Rand Paul in Utah tonight, live for dinner, fundraising for Rand PAC. RANDPAC.com. If you want to learn more, IVY, at randpaul.com. And you can get information on the event tonight. Would love you to participate. And one of the important things here is Rand Paul, in my opinion, is one of the most important senators that stands for pro-life. He doesn't back down. He doesn't make excuses. He gets it done. All right. And that's the, in my opinion, I mentioned this when Donald got elected. If there's one thing he could do that would, you know, solidify the Republican Party, tie it to Christianity, focus on, most of the nation believes in pro-life folks, especially if we expose the pro-death cartel for who they really are. And so I'm really disappointed of all the things in this $1.3 trillion omnibus belligerence that went on here. I'm going to get one of the most disappointing things of all is this fully funding Planned Parenthood. Doug?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's a tragedy. We have an overwhelming number of Republicans who run back in their districts talking about cutting off funding for Planned Parenthood. And, well, you're correct. Senator Paul is 100% pro-life. He is the Senate sponsor of the Life at Conception Act. He is out there fighting this fight every day. But you don't even have to be 100% pro-life to agree that the federal government shouldn't be paying Planned Parenthood and allowing them to run around doing abortions all the time. So one of the things I think that is important here is they're missing the opportunity to take a shot at one of the things that's most unpopular, which is the federal funding of this versus just the laws. And I think if we can't even get Republicans to cut off federal funding for this, we have a problem.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt, I think that's one of the most important issues of all. And do you think that we can really push to defund Planned Parenthood still? That the Republicans have lost so many opportunities. I'm afraid in 18 they're going to take a beating and we're going to lose enough of a majority to ever get it done if we're not careful.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the problems. If you don't stand up for something, people don't want to come out. And so, I agree with you, though. I think it's, this was a setback, but we shouldn't get discouraged. We need to come out and try our best to find the best liberty conservatives either in your area to support or nationally to support with volunteer efforts and donations, and try to get people into office that actually mean what they say. You have, Rand Paul doing that. Mike Lee is doing that. We're scouring the country for candidates. We'll be updating that on randpack.com as the cycle goes along, and through, press and emails. And we'll be sending out who we think are vetted pro-liberty candidates who will stand up for the Constitution and will stand up for life also. That's always one of the questions we ask them.
And you might find this interesting, Doug. We have a state representative that literally now is running against Orrin Hatch and leaving his state representative slot.
You mean Romney, running against Romney.
Well, running against Hatch's position. That's right, against Romney, but I want to be clear that it's Hatch's position we're talking about, right? And so Kurt's right. It's running against Romney. But I believe it's to fill this, position of Hatch. So well, the reason I'm bringing this up, though, is because this guy that is leaving the state legislature to run against Romney for Hatch's position, Kurt Crosby, so my co-host on the radio with us right now, has signed up to run for that slot. So we are putting our money and our time and our efforts where our mouth is.
Good. And that's exactly what we're talking about. If you see a mission that needs to be done and you can possibly do it, go do it. Whether it's being a pro-liberty candidate for U.S. Senate, for state representative, whether it's being the guy that goes to the phone bank to help the state representative. Kurt, you're going to need a lot of help if you're running. And so, people that listen to the show that agree with Kurt should get out there and knock doors and make phone calls and give donations when possible, and that's how we do this.
And Rand Paul, like the president, realizes the mainstream press isn't very favorable, and so they're literally taking their messages to Twitter. Rand is tweeting out big time right now, Kurt.
Well, yeah, there were a number of stories basically saying that, hey, during this whole, before the vote on it, he was going through the different pages. You've got the Hill.com, reporting on it. You've got USA Today, where the headline from them was Rand Paul's tweeting the Crumnibus spending bill, so grab some popcorn. And then the Hill with Rand Paul Live tweets his reading of spending bill. Jacqueline Thompson,
that'll be the longest tweet
there
in history, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's right. He'd go over a few pages. Yeah, it was crazy stuff.
But Rand's doing a great job of communicating via email and the new media taking center stage, if you will. Doug, he's really tweeting out so that people can get what he's really saying. The mainstream press isn't very helpful. They're kind of making it like, oh, my gosh, this is like a sporting event. Grab your popcorn. But Rand is serious about this stuff. This is no joke.
Oh, absolutely. And all they wanted to do, even if we did get on and talk about it, which Rand gets his fair share of press, too, of course, but they want to talk about horse races, or they want to talk about gossip, or they want to talk about, are you going to shut the government down? That wasn't the issue, because nobody is looking to just make scenes. He wants to talk about what was wrong here. So we felt like the best way to do that is, instead of having 3 minutes on the media, was we did that literally for, I think, about 8 hours or more on Thursday, or all day long, We were sitting out there exposing every part of this bill. And really, frankly, we got tired after about 600 pages.
I absolutely agree. And I would say this, too. This is important to kind of understand, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when we think about this issue, Rand Paul tweets his reading of the spending bill. You know, the mainstream press would kind of be like, oh, my gosh, there's Rand Paul grandstanding out there kind of doing whatever. The reason that this is important is because nobody read it. And the reason this is important is, personally, I would shut down the government, Doug. Now, listen to me carefully. I would shut down the government, and then what I would do is, on a single page or single issue at a time, I would restore funding as soon as Congress can. I mean, they can pass a lot of bills in a day. And I would do piecemeal, single page, single issue legislative pieces that would fund every constitutional proper role of government and never fund the rest.
I wish we could. The issue is whether you shut it down or not. The last time, actually, Rand's protest did go so long that it did shut it down briefly, you might remember.
But yes, I do, and he was right to do so, sir.
Yeah, and believe me, if the reason warranted it, we'd do it again. In our case here was they could have, because of the way the Congress works and the Senate works, they could have rolled right over Rand, right about the time when it would have shut down anyway. Like, you can't just stand there and hold your breath. At some point, they just vote to override you when they have enough votes. That we knew they had more than 60 votes to do it.
Yeah, and then the question becomes, where is Rand's time better spent to fight that in the Senate, or is it best to tweet out to the people and keep people abreast of what's happening, even though he can't personally stop it? He can certainly blow the whistle on their lack of transparency, right?
Exactly, and that's what we decided was what we want to do is, while we're kind of holding it up and while we're all, you know, waiting for them to actually figure out how to act here, we're just not going to wait. We're going to take action. We're going to expose this. And the exposure was what we wanted. So whether it shut down or not really was irrelevant, because we couldn't make them do what you were saying, which would have been great, which is, you're shut down until we actually have votes on each and everything. Unfortunately, with the way the rules work, we couldn't do that. They would have rolled over us with this exact bill within hours of the government shutting down. So instead of making the story be about a shutdown, we wanted the story to be about how bad this bill was.
And we want the story also to be about this. You know, when it comes to shutting down government health care, the Republicans talk all day, right? But then when it comes to really getting it done, they can't even get 50 votes, much less 60 votes. And then when it comes to this omnibus belligerent spending bill that's just off the charts, they literally, in the House and the Senate, we figured it all out with a blended rate, they have 61% support. I'm not so sure that anybody can stop that, but it just highlights what they care about, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of people that ran again on, you know, getting rid of Obamacare root and branch. Well, they didn't do that. They watered it and they put some fertilizer on it.
All right, there you have it. Now, Ann Coulter has an interesting story that I want to get your take on, Doug. Kurt?
Well, yeah, she's basically saying that, she's congratulating President Schumer. That was her, you know, phrase.
Yeah, she jokingly calls him President Schumer, right?
Well, you know, in other words, that he's basically getting everything he wants. And he says to the president, she says to the president, you'll be impeached. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the Democrats are quite that dumb, even if they got in charge, but I certainly would want to take a chance. And the problem is we're playing into their hands right now by not standing up for the priorities of our voters, by not standing up for fiscal responsibility, by not standing up for the Constitution. We should have had a better budget, a better spending bill. And then if that's not what came out of Congress the first time, we were actually hopeful yesterday morning the president was actually going to veto it.
That was my prayer, sir.
Well, so if you want to do what you were talking about in terms of force Congress to deal with them one at a time or force Congress to do something different, that's where the power is. It's in the presidential veto. You know, he says this is the last time he's going to sign something like this. I hope that's true, but we were hoping he wasn't going to sign it the first time.
And going forward, I want to highlight a little bit of the difference between Ron ran for president three times. Let's ignore the 1988 Libertarian run. Let's talk about the two Republican runs in 08 and 12. And they mocked Ron, pretending he didn't have any support. But they were right. He didn't have enough of an infrastructure built on the ground in 08. He sure did in 2012. And the response from the Republicans is evident that he had that power. Let's talk about that and what it means for the future. Hold on.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. Wow, Rand Paul's going to be in Salt Lake City tonight for a fundraiser. We hope you guys can go. You want to learn more, Ivy, I-V-Y, at randpaul.com. Our guest, Doug Stafford, doing a great job. He's chief strategist of Rand Pack. He was on with us. He had to fly, though. He's got a busy day helping Rand out in the field and stuff like that. It takes a lot to coordinate that stuff, folks. But anyway, the Rand Pack mission is to lead the battle for sound money, limited government, and fidelity to our Constitution. We help support and elect pro-liberty, pro-Constitution candidates in Kentucky and across the country. Anyway, great stuff, in my opinion. Doug had to fly, but I was making the point right before the break, Kurt, and I want you to be able to have a chance to chime in on this. You know, the difference between Ron Paul's 2008 and 2012 bid was tremendously different. They took the time to literally, through Campaign for Liberty and other efforts, to raise money, to fund it, to put together delegates, to really build an infrastructure on the ground. And that just shows the power of how involved we can be. And if we literally take this stuff seriously at all levels, what a difference we can really make. And what a difference that organization on the ground really has. In 08, they mocked Ron Paul. They said, you got nothing but, you know, online robots doing your business or whatever. And then later they said, oh, my goodness, you raised almost $6 million in a single day. Wow, this is for real. And then in 2012, they literally had to have the Republican insiders pull out all the stops to stop Ron. And just imagine if we could double and quintuple those efforts, that stride made by Ron and others across the country. Just imagine if we could do that again in 16 and 20 and 24 and beyond. We could really build something that matters. And just imagine if we could get real media behind it, Kurt. So anyway, I commend them for their work, and I think what they're doing is historical. It's history making, or making history in the making is the way to say it, I guess. Kurt, you want to speak to that? I wanted Doug to, but he had to fly. So,
yeah, I agree with you 100%, Sam. And you know, it takes money and it takes ground troops. I suppose you can just buy support, if you will. I remember in one of the earliest campaigns, I remember I was one of those guys holding a sign on the street corner for a particular candidate. I don't really remember who it was, but you know, we had a I guess you called it a flash mob or whatever that would be there during your rush hour traffic, and you'd be holding a sign, and you know, I thought that everybody just did that based on hey, you did it because you were for your candidate. Later, I found out that the way the insider boys, the kingmen kind of types, the way they do it is they pay people to support them. you know, then I kind of learned a little more about how the political world works. But like in Ron Paul's case, and Rand Paul's so many times, as far as I know, he doesn't pay supporters to look like they're supporting him. They literally go there and do it, whereas many of the other guys, you know, they pay for their signatures, they pay for the guy, the worker going around getting the signatures. You know, the good guys, I don't think, have to pay. They get people like us to support them because we want to.
And that's why we need more of that. And that's, by the way, in my opinion, one of the biggest single factors in not needing as much money as the other guys. In other words, the average congressman, I think, what was it, 5 million to get elected, and the average senator, 10 million to get elected. And that number's going up every day, by the way. But my point is, I don't think we need 5 million to elect a congressman, Kurt. If we have a bunch of ground troops and good people volunteering, we don't need to spend a lot of the money that they have to spend. So that's why I say that it's a combination. And that's why I say, if we're willing to make candidacies real, if you will, then I think we can do tremendous good. It's when we have a guy run and we say, oh, you really ought to run, Kurt. You really ought to run, Scott Bradley. You really ought to run, Sam Bushman. And then we put our, I don't know what you want to call it, shingle out there or whatever to run. And then, hey, we don't get a penny, and we don't get people to you know, make phone calls or get on the ground and knock on doors or do the things that it takes. Then it's an empty suit campaign kind of a thing. I think, on the other hand, if we really are willing to get involved in meaningful ways, hey, it can be done. And even my buddy Carlton Bowen got elected to the city council here locally. That's an example of it can work. And I'm telling you, that guy tirelessly knocked on doors. Several of us put a little bit of money into his campaign. And a bunch of us together made that happen. It was tremendous. And this example that it was an example that it can be done, Kurt. But it takes certain, you got to have certain things happen. It's kind of like the new media can take center stage. But we got to have people help us. Or I just can't get it done myself. Not even with Kurt's help.
Got to have the Red Sea open. Yeah.
Well, we can make the Red Sea open, and God will prosper our efforts if he sees us united in our cause.
That's exactly right.
But if we're not going to do it for ourselves, I don't know that God's going to do it for us, Kurt. I think he helps those who help themselves, and I think we ought to pray to him as if it's up to him, and then I think we ought to work as if it's up to us. Yeah. And in the middle, I think we can meet kind of a thing. And I think it starts with morality, et cetera. Anyway, I commend Rand Paul. And, you know, when this Ann Coulter congratulates President Schumer on the spending bill and says Trump will be impeached. Do you think Donald will be impeached, Kurt?
Well, I go to that story with the Roseanne Barr thing. You know, Sam, I think they do want to get rid of him. The thing is, I think some folks on their side, you know, and that's, you know, hard to exactly say whose side on who's on what side or whatever, but some of them say, well, yeah, if we got rid of Trump, then we'd have Pence, you know, to deal with. So, you know, I don't know for sure. And like, you know, that story said with Ann Coulter, you know, basically the Democrats or the so-called bad guys feel like they're winning so much they're kind of tired of it. That just illustrates the whole idea of how stupid the whole party system is, if you ask me.
Amen to that. I agree with that, and I pray he's not impeached, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to see any president get impeached, Kurt. Now, if it's justifiable and he's really had wrongdoing, then I hope that he resigns. I would say that I'm not afraid of Mike Pence being president. Now, I get that he wouldn't do a lot of the things that we want done. I think he's more of a status quo kind of guy to a great degree, which I'm disappointed about. But I know he's very pro-life. I know he would set the standard for morality, though. He's a moral person, I believe. Agree or disagree on policy, say he doesn't have enough guts or backbone or whatever, that he'd be kind of a lukewarm candidate. Maybe so. But I know this. I believe he's a true Christian. I really do. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm just telling you, I don't believe that he can be compromised by immorality or some of those kinds of things. Now, the State Department, Kurt, approved a $1 billion arms sale to Saudi Arabia. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
So we got a $1 billion arms deal sale to Saudi Arabia that just got approved. See, I'm not comfortable with that. Why are we arming and training and funding the enemies and such? Now you would say, Sam, Saudi Arabia is not an enemy. And my response is, maybe not directly, but they're certainly not... Well, they got a bunch of questionable people, and where that money really flows to might be questionable and things like that. And I just don't think it's smart to arm and train and fund these kind of scenarios. Anyway, it's kind of strange. Now, they say that Donald Trump refrained from commenting on the suggestion that the elections for Russia were rigged last week, Kurt. And John McCain came out boldly and said, an American president does not lead the free world by congratulating dictators on winning sham elections. That's what Arizona Senator John McCain argued, they say. Now, here's what I find fascinating. So let me get this right. You got election fraud going on in Russia, they say. They're admitting to it. They're saying Donald shouldn't be congratulating Vladimir Putin. And that's not the way to go about it. But my question is, what about John McCain pretending there's no election fraud here, Kurt? And mocking Donald when he says there is, even though we have evidence everywhere, including Russian collusion. And what's that technical group that compromised Facebook, Kurt? Analytica? What's that thing called?
Yeah, that's right.
Something Analytica.
Anyway,
all I'm saying
Cambridge Analytica.
Good. And then acting like that doesn't matter in America. So how can we accuse the Russians of election tampering in our own country and in their own elections, but then we pretend we don't do the same, even though the former CIA director said we did publicly, Kurt? How does all this work? John McCain's a dishonest thug.
Good point, Sam.
Okay, he's mocking Donald and acting. Now, I appreciate Donald just simply saying, I'm not going to interfere with their elections. I'm not going to question their elections. I'm going to just say if he won, he won. And I'm going to congratulate him. And I hope to have less war with him. Isn't that a good idea, Kurt?
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine talking to people instead of just, you know, shooting bullets or whatever they're wearing.
Now, one thing in the story is correct, though. They say Donald Trump didn't comment on the suggestion that there's election fraud. So they got a suggestion in Russia, but a confidence in America, right? But yet there's no fraud in America. Got it? See, I don't even understand all that. All right, back in seconds on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation. and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. So they got a suggestion to vote fraud going on in Russia, and John McCain's all mad at the Donald for not bringing this up, and Donald tries to congratulate Vladimir Putin, and, you know, these guys are saying that's not the way to be a leader. But there's allegations of vote fraud in both countries that are beyond allegation. That are beyond allegation, ladies and gentlemen. Well, anyway, Trump wants to speak with Vladimir Putin about arms race. Now, I think he ought to do that. I don't want to have an arms race. I want to prepare for war in a very peaceful way, make sure that, you know, we can take care of ourselves. But the best way we can back away from an arms race is not to fund and train and arm people around the world. So if Donald wants to talk about, you know, the arms race, Trump needs to, in my opinion, double down and not approve through the State Department $1 billion of arms sales to the Saudi Arabia folks. Anyway, very interesting stuff, to say the least. Our prayers are for peace is all I can say about this. Now, I don't know if you know, this is great news, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, incredible news in America. Mr. Rogers, you know, the neighborhood guy, the guy with the loafers or whatever that, Mr. Rogers gets his own postage stamp. Folks, we're taking care of business in America. So while I can't cut spending in government, Mr. Rogers gets his own postage stamp. You're going to start sending out Mr. Rogers postage stamps to people, folks? It's a great day in the neighborhood. Wow. All right, that's what's going on, folks. They're selling us down the river, and they won't defund Planned Parenthood. They fully fund it. 2,000 to 3,000 babies die every day, and we're busy setting up Mr. Rogers to have a postage stamp. It's crazy in America. All right, there is a story that I am absolutely beside myself about, and it's so frustrating. You remember I wrote a letter, an open letter to Donald Trump, telling him how wronged I was in the media, telling him how dishonest it was that they tried to divide us from his son, Donald Trump Jr., and Eric Trump, both sons we interviewed. And they literally called us white supremacists and everything else. And then Donald doubled down against us in many ways. And Eric Trump and Donald Jr. doubled down against us. And well, then when I called him on the carpet, we got a bunch of media organizations to retract and all this kind of stuff. And it was, you know, good that they retracted. And well, they don't call it a retraction. They just say we corrected the story, or, you know, they put it on page like 99B. So you can't hardly know the correction happened. But it did. And to us, it's a big win because we set the record straight, the truth. And Hope Hicks, you know, kind of hung us out to dry for a while. But then I stood against her. And then I think it was on CNN. She finally admitted Liberty Roundtable Live was a great talk show. And anyway, that whole battle, as you know, we've covered it to ad nauseum to some degree on the radio. But I bring this up because then what happened is my open letter got ignored. I literally had people who were involved with Donald Trump introduce my letter or give it to the Donald, they claimed. And so I think President Trump had my letter. But I don't know for a fact, because how do you really know? Anyway, long story short, then I got frustrated because a kid that wanted to mow the White House lawn sent a letter to Donald. Now, I don't know if this kid has as many political connections as I have, but he must have better ones, that's for sure, because I don't know if my letter even got to Donald. But the kid wanting to mow the White House lawn did, and so he was hanging out in the Rose Garden with the Donald, and he mowed the lawn, and it was a big fanfare media op, and it was incredible. Now, I was kind of mad about that because I'm thinking, well, I, you know, sent a letter to Donald, and mine's serious about being attacked in the media. And nothing was, you know, mentioned or focused on about it, which I find real tragic in my opinion. Nevertheless, now there's another letter that got sent to the Trumps that somehow found its mark as well. My letter can't find its mark no matter what. Doesn't matter that I'm a nationally syndicated talk show host. Doesn't matter that I know several people that have been involved in the Trump administration and were surrogates for the President Trump when he was running for office, et cetera, et cetera. None of that matters. I can't get my information to Donald. He won't speak out on it or give me the time of day. I even put together the Freedom Coalition and say, I want to help, innocents in prison. TheFreedomCoalition.com, and I really double down, and we create a coalition and a group of people. There's a lot of big names on there. Go to TheFreedomCoalition.com to see what we're doing. Things haven't been updated in a while because there's no progress. We can't get anybody to pay attention to our cries on this issue, our defense of the innocent in prison. Anyway, so two cousins wrote Donald Trump a letter, all right? So he invited them to bake cookies with Melania. So let me get this straight. I try to reach out to the Donald and say, we've been abused in the media. Let's sue them for libel, slander, as you wanted to, Donald. And I get completely 100% ignored, even though I interviewed both of his sons in defense of his campaign to help him get elected. I get ignored. Then a kid wants to mow the White House lawn, and boom, he's just launched up to the Rose Garden, promoted to the umpth degree. And then two cousins send an open letter to Donald Trump. And then Donald likes them so much, he rewards them. He invites them to bake cookies with Melania. I'm wondering if me and my daughter can go bake cookies with Melania. Right? Well, I'm thinking that would be a pretty cool thing to do. Right? But this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I am starting to believe less and less and less that Donald's genuine about anything. He abandons the pro-life agenda of overturning Roe versus Wade. He really doesn't. I mean, he's done some good. I got to give credit. He's done more pro-life things than many other guys for president. But when it comes down to defunding Planned Parenthood, one of the biggest, in my opinion, campaign promises made, I don't see it. They literally fully funded Planned Parenthood, folks. And 2,000 to 3,000 babies die every single day in this country as a result of them not getting this done. They've had multiple legislative massive bills go through that could have included the defunding of Planned Parenthood, but every time it magically does not appear. Okay, in the massive tax cut bill, in the massive omnibus spending bill, they've had $1.3 trillion just now. They've had big spending bills in the first year of Donald's presidency as well. They've increased the debt ceiling. They've gutted it from the rejection of Planned Parenthood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can't for the life of me get traction on these important issues, but yet, hey, if you want to mow the White House lawn, by all means. Donald Trump literally probably, I guess it's voluntary child slave labor, but nevertheless, there you go. Okay, and now these two cousins want to, you know, hang out with Donald, and they literally get to go to the White House and make cookies with Melania? And then I can't get traction for the freedomcoalition.com. I have no stake in that, no benefit for me. I'm not a prisoner, but I do want to highlight innocence in prison, and I do want to deal with that issue. And I put my time and my money in trying to highlight this issue. And I'm asking Donald for help, and I get completely ignored. I then interview both of Donald Trump's sons to help the truth come out and to help him get elected over Hillary Clinton. Literally, I got attacked for those interviews, and then Donald didn't defend me at all. Then I wrote an open letter to President Trump and said, hey, I'm calling foul on this one. I need your help, Donald, President Trump. Crickets. Nothing but crickets. But then these people that want to make cookies, Donald literally pays attention to them. Barack Obama had beers, you know, beer summits at the White House with people and everything else. And now Donald can meet with Vladimir Putin. Donald can meet with a North Korean dictator. Donald can meet with all these people. The little kids that want to promote gun control, they all get to meet Donald. These people that want to make cookies, they get to hang out with Melania. This kid that wants to mow the White House lawn, they get to meet with Donald. He gets to hang out in the Rose Garden with Donald. And no matter what, I can't even get close to Donald on these critical issues. Like I'm being attacked in the media. They're committing libel and slander against us. And Donald won't even talk about it. Like we want to have the FreedomCoalition.com focused on to help innocents in prison. There's nothing in it for me. Except for a better America. Except for the rule of law. But I mean, me personally, there's nothing for me. I'm not in jail. But I might be if we allow this to continue. See what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm in the new media. The new media is taking center stage. I would like Donald to let me go to the White House and cover it, the news. Breitbart tried it, and now Donald's crossways with Breitbart as he reaches out as Fox and literally makes almost every Fox commentator part of his administration. And so I just find this fascinating that Donald literally got a letter from two cousins, and now they're making cookies with Melania. And I can't get a word to these people if I try. It's an absolute struggle. What a sad tale to tell in the Republic, ladies and gentlemen. I think the pro-life issue is probably the most important issue of all. Trump signs $1.3 trillion spending bill, pledges he'll never do it again. I agree with our guest earlier, Mr. Doug Stafford, chief strategist for RANDPAC.com that just came on. I pray Donald doesn't sign one of these omnibus spending bills again. I pray we can lead the mission, the battle for sound money. And that would stop this kind of belligerent, out-of-control spending in its tracks. All right? We would stop these $1 billion sales of arms with Saudi Arabia. Wow, while Mr. Rogers gets his own postage stamp and these two cousins get to make cookies with Melania, I struggle to keep this media organization alive and try to tell the tale of liberty, protecting the innocents in prison. Wow. Now, it's interesting. There's a question that people are asking, and I think it's a fair question. The question is, why do airports... This is a question for Donald on the same topic of the media. Literally being dishonest. Now, Donald said the media is some of the most dishonest people he's ever met. But why do airports still play CNN on their television? Joe Simonson asked the brilliant question, and it's a fair question. Why on earth do we allow airports, which are funded by your tax dollars, to air CNN? Some people are saying, you know what? It's really offensive to use my tax dollars to publicly promote, as some people jokingly call it, the Communist News Network or CNN. There's some of the most dishonest people on the planet. Donald's letting taxpayers fund this while he complains about the media, right? Why are we allowing CNN to be on in the airports at all? Why not Liberty Roundtable Live, Donald? Why not Liberty News Radio? See, why is CNN being promoted across the land? CNN and Fox are literally battling over this. But the truth is, neither of them are standing for liberty. Neither of them are helping you stop this massive spending bill, Donald. Right? Why is CNN doing that? Now, while airports still play CNN, there's a battle between CNN and Fox. CNN's president, guy's name is Jeff Zucker, attacks Fox News as a pure propaganda machine, they say. So we're funding CNN with our tax dollars, but then CNN's attacking Fox, saying it's a pure propaganda machine. CNN's the one in bed with the Stormy Daniels interview. Wow. It's insanity. Believe it or not, Black Lives Matter protesters blocked thousands of fans from attending an NBA game. How come no one's highlighting that fiasco going on? Violence and abuse and hostility and civil unrest, all via Black Lives or Black Panthers kind of thing. And then Donald ignores me and lets his wife make cookies with some other... I mean, it's crazy. We got to stand for liberty, ladies and gentlemen. We got to stand together. Rand Paul in Utah tonight. we declare this nation shall endure.